Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4 hour zero gravity gala. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Phoenix to Philly, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios. These are challenging times. Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24-7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Hey, thanks for being with us, everybody. Appreciate your time. Appreciate you locking in with us and having us as part of your morning here on a Tuesday. It's a Trash Tuesday, and so it's time to take out some trash. I think we all have the daily aggravations that come along with the current situation, things around the house, things with the family, things with just being out of your normal comfort zone. And so these are good days to be able to vent a little bit, get some things off of your chest. We'll do that coming up here on the show in approximately 40 minutes from now. We, as part of the DA show, the crew here, will have our trashes coming up at 40 minutes past the hour. 20 minutes past the hour. Today is an optimistic day if you are a baseball fan, because reports from Jeff Passan at ESPN early this morning, really late last night, if you're waking up now, is that there is a plan being worked on for baseball to return possibly in late May, maybe by early June. We'll lay out how that would work coming up here in 20 minutes. Next hour, we'll be stunned to a news and also ask the question, did Tom Brady just admit via Players Tribune that he was silenced by Bill Belichick? Also coming up this morning in hour number three, this is interesting. There's a man by the name of Gary Gorski who runs Wolverine Studios, who did a ton of simulations for the NCAA tournament, and will bring you what his simulation of this year's NCAA tournament looked like. Gary's going to join us coming up in hour number three. Also, can golf come back in June? Maybe they're best suited for a return for sports, and ESPN is messing with the Monday Night Football booth yet again. So all of that coming up this morning on the show. Any of those topics you want to jump in on, let's do it. You've got your phone number. Here it is, toll free, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. I want to begin, though, with the NFL's all-decade team. This was announced yesterday, and some obvious names for the 20-teens, if you will, the 2010s, which would be Tom Brady at quarterback, Bill Belichick at head coach, J.J. Watt, Adrian Peterson, Julio Jones, the best of the best of this past decade, a number of the Seattle Seahawks Legion of Boom members, a number of the greatest names of this past decade announced yesterday as part of the NFL's All-Decade team. One thing to note about this, when this comes down, I always am really interested by the list because it's a pretty damn good marker of who's going to be in the Hall of Fame. If you go back to the 1990s, okay, if you go back to the team of the 1990s, which is maybe the most appropriate one to go back on just simply because there's been enough time for most of the guys that would ever get in to have gotten in. Right now from the 2000s team, there's still guys that are active, like Tom Brady, like Adam Vinatieri, like Bill Belichick. If you go back in time to the team of the 1990s, almost every first team member is in the Hall of Fame. Almost every one of them, 92% of the first team members, there's a first team and a second team, are in the Hall of Fame. That's how significant this honor is. It's a significant benchmark into getting into the NFL Hall of Fame. And out of the three guys that didn't get in or aren't in from the team of the 1990s, two of them are special teamers, the punter and the punt returner. So that just goes to show you, if you play a skill position, if you play anywhere on offense or defense to get named to the All-Decade team, especially first team, you're likely to be in the NFL Hall of Fame. And this is interesting because this year, first team, well, this All-Decade team, first team, Tom Brady, second team, Aaron Rodgers. We will see both of those guys in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. No doubt about it, both those guys are going into Canton. But what's interesting is no Drew Brees. And in the 2000s team, your quarterbacks were Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. So Drew Brees will have played 20 years at quarterback. He will have won a Super Bowl, would have been a Super Bowl MVP, would have rewritten most, if not all, of the significant passing records in NFL history. When he retires, will likely hold almost all of them, and will have never made an All-Decade team. Four slots, 20 years, Brady two of them, Peyton one of them, Rodgers one of them. Is Drew Brees destined to be overlooked by history because of who he played alongside? It is where we begin your cold open.
He's got a wide open receiver. It's caught at the 35, breaking the tackle. 30 from the 20 down the sideline, the 10, the 5, and it's a touchdown for Tre'Quan Smith. Over the shoulder catch, 62 yards, and the record. Brees has done it. With a standing ovation from over 74,000, Drew Brees has just become professional football's all-time leading passer.
I'll be able to reflect on it maybe a little bit more when my career is done. I still feel like there's work to be done, but just really, really proud and very grateful.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was the great Kevin Harlan on Westwood One calling the record breaker. That was, of course, Drew Brees upon getting the record. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. And he will be one of the most admired players of this era. Drew Brees in the city of New Orleans, the state of Louisiana, is a living legend. And will be until the end of time. And so when you talk about overlooked or overshadowed, I think there's going to be elements of Drew Brees' career that live on forever. Specifically in New Orleans, what he has meant to that city, meant to that state, post-Katrina, what he's doing now, donating $5 million to the state of Louisiana in the wake of the coronavirus crisis. He has been the ultimate city guy, the ultimate hometown guy, and he will probably be, for as long as all of us live, the greatest living saint and the greatest saint of all time. He will be the greatest player in that franchise's history, probably forever. So, in that way, he's not going to be overlooked. And he's going to be in the NFL Hall of Fame. So, in that way, he's not going to be overlooked. But there's always going to be people, in some ways this is unfair, that say that Drew Brees was a product of the era and a product of his home stadium and a product of his offense. That Brees, in some people's estimation, I don't agree with this, had a benefit of same coach, wide open offense, play indoors in a pass-happy era, and grade him down for that. I'm not one of those guys. Now, I will admit that when you talk about the greatest of this era, I would still put Tom Brady and Peyton Manning above him. I think it's fair to put Aaron Rodgers above him on this list as well, because in this decade is not the decade that Drew Brees won his Super Bowl. That was last decade, 09. Also, Favre has two MVPs in this decade. Drew Brees does not have any. So if you're simply going 2010 to 2019, I think the list is right, that Rodgers was the greater quarterback, even though he's had some ups and downs. Just in terms of accomplishments, I would say for this decade, Rodgers was greater. But I think it's unfair for the people that look at Drew Brees and say, well, he wasn't Tom Brady, or he wasn't Peyton Manning, or he didn't play outdoors, or he didn't have multiple head coaches. I think that's unfair, because that's not Drew Brees' fault. Brees has succeeded with the situations given him. And yes, they've had a couple of 7-9s. And yes, the Saints haven't been back to a Super Bowl with him. But ultimately, Brees has maxed out his career in every which way. I mean, coming out of Purdue, people said he's too short to play in the NFL. He was a second-round draft pick. He was the first pick of the second round by the Chargers. He was given up, left for dead by the Chargers. They wanted to move on to Phillip Rivers. Dolphins said, bum shoulder, we can't trust you. I mean, for 15, 16 years, Drew Brees' career has been otherworldly, and he should not be overlooked by NFL historians because of the era that he played in. This is not just because, oh, everybody throws for 5,000 yards. That's not true. When you look at the total 5,000-yard seasons in NFL history, Drew Brees has basically half of those, okay? So he is one of the greatest passers ever. But I didn't have a problem with him not being on the NFL 100. I don't have a problem with him not being on this year's NFL All-Decade team or this decade's All-Team. But I do say, unfortunately, some people will grade him down, which I think is a mistake for things like this. The unfortunate truth is he's been surrounded in his career these days and the previous decade by all-time crazy quarterbacking. Peyton, Rodgers, Brady, I mean, those are three of the greatest ever, and he's one of the greatest ever as well. He's just been, unfortunately, a tick under those guys in a couple of significant things for these types of awards, but his career is absolutely satisfying and amazing in every way. And being the guy that he is off the football field might even mean it more. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. Whereas when you see something like this, do you think, another case of where Drew Brees is going to be overlooked historically?
No, but I do think this only further adds to the point when we even talk about the class of Rivers, Manning, and Roethlisberger, that guys should not be punished because they played in a golden era at their position. Now, everybody wants to judge the Hall of Fame, and we know Brees is going anyway based on how you were against your peers. And we all know Brees is going, as I just said, but him not making these all-decade teams only further adds to how deep the quarterback position has been over the last 15, 20 years, and we shouldn't overlook guys who may have shined in other eras because of how deep it is.
This is just a chance for you to defend Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame.
No, it is not. Because I would say the same thing about Rivers, I would say the same thing about Romo.
But you don't want Rivers or Romo in the Hall of Fame.
But I have come around and understand more and more. And all of the knocks you brought on Breeze, I mean, look, the guy is throwing.
Well, there's
60.
No knocks. There's no.
No,
knocks.
No, no. I understand, but what people are going to say, and the one thing I have always said, this guy has thrown nearly 100 less touchdown passes on the road. He has averaged nearly 65 less yards per game on the road. Like, the stats are there. He is a much better player in the pinball dome that is the Superdome. So for critics to have that, never have a knock on Breeze, I do get it. He still would have been great no matter what. I believe that. I don't think it's just a Sean Payton home thing. But anything you want to say about Drew Breeze and take him down a peg, I could kind of have the argument, but I also gather this is why you don't punish guys for playing in golden eras.
Okay, so you're putting Romo in the Hall of Fame.
I have come around to that. I would.
Oh, my gosh.
And I got to be honest with you. At this point, I'd probably put Matt Ryan in as well.
Oh, my goodness. What has quarantine done to you?
I'm not calling anybody a turd here today. I mean, what?
But we have said. That's the bar.
If you come on here.
The bar is Tony Romo's won 2 playoff games.
But now we're not crediting the regular season success?
I mean, you'd have to have some pretty damn good regular season success, Mraz, to put Tony Romo, a guy with 2 playoff wins.
Look, I cannot believe I have to wave the flag for Tony Romo at 6:15 in the morning on an April day. But I'm just saying, these are guys who were pretty damn good quarterbacks that might have been top 5 quarterbacks of a different era that are getting punished because of the golden era of a Breeze, Rodgers, Brady, Manning.
Look.
Oh.
I mean, let me tell you, okay, something right now. Obviously, Peyton Manning's getting in. Obviously, Drew Brees is getting in. Obviously, Tom Brady's getting in. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is getting in. Then we can actually have a conversation of who's not getting in. I think more than likely Roethlisberger's getting in. My guess is Eli gets in. Now we're talking about the next crew. I don't think Phillip Rivers is getting in, and I don't think Romo's getting in. But if you're also adding Rivers and Romo, why not just put half the league's quarterbacks into this point in time? Look, I mean, Tony Romo, you can't say, well, he's been hurt by competition. He was like the 7th or 8th best quarterback at best during his career, at his very peak in the league.
This is very hypocritical of me because I was never a big Romo or Rivers guy. I always found
him
overrated.
You think you've trashed him for years.
But the point is, when you play the numbers game and you dive into Pro Football Reference, and I hate doing that because it should just be an eye test situation, yeah, I think that Romo and Rivers likely get punished because of the era they're playing in. And Breeze is just a catalyst of that when you consider him not making the old decade teams. We're punishing guys because of their peers when it's a golden era of their position.
Well, somebody has to win the football games. I hate to break it to you, but somebody, when you play on Sunday, there's a winner and there's a loser.
Well, for the most part,
the guy that loses
a freaking quarterback for 20 years that's won the football games. So
Well, we're putting in, though, the other guys as well. It's not like it's just Tom Brady that gets the only enshrinement. There is a Peyton Manning from this era. There is a Drew Brees. There's an Aaron Rodgers. There's a Ben Roethlisberger that we are putting in. There's other guys that won football games. Tony Romo did not.
He won a lot of regular season football games. God.
Yeah, all those week 17s where he collapsed.
Yeah, look, I don't even like Romo. This makes me feel dirty.
This is a quarantine take. I see it. It's not a quarantine take.
I did a lot of deep dive. You found me in a rabbit hole in Pro Football Reference last night when I was going through the Breeze stuff, and I thought to myself, you know what, maybe these guys do deserve it. So that's all.
Right here. These days on the show, we're calling outrageous takes quarantine takes, like Rex Ryan's turd take.
They're turd bombs. Like
Mraz's Tony Romo's in Canton take. We're calling these quarantine takes because Mraz thinks that by being holed up in your apartment or your house for weeks or months on end, you tend to have crazier sports opinions.
You do. You have more time on your hands. Sway yourself.
When we come back here on the show, Major League Baseball, overnight there is reports about how they might try to come back in May. We'll give you the details. This is very optimistic news if you're a baseball fan or just a sports fan, coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
He's going to kill these dudes in the slalom. The second guy out in the slalom put up a really good time, and they're like, geez, the course is at its best right now because the combined slalom is his worst event. He's better at the slalom and the giant slalom.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We slalom through a Trash Tuesday here on the show. And Thursday, starting at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, the Inside College Football crew gets you ready for the upcoming NFL draft as they break down the blue chippers and speculate on the game's next superstars, only on the CBS Sports Network. CBS Sports Spectacular, yeah! If you miss any part of the DA show, want to hear it again, you want to check out all 4 full hours of the show, minus commercial interruption, or you want to hear the abbreviated, condensed version of the best of, we all got it for you. Every single day via podcast. So you can go to radio.com for any of that. You can also get that if you go to our website, cbssportsradio.com. And also Apple Podcasts and other places podcasts are available. Trash Tuesday this morning, so let me know your trashes by tweeting at me, DA on CBS. We'll get to our trashes coming up here in about 15 minutes from now. But really optimistic news today if you're waking up. Jeff Passan, one of the best baseball reporters in the game for ESPN, has a report today, came out really late last night, early this morning, that MLB executives and the players union are working on getting baseball back by May, by next month. Here's how it would work. They would make Phoenix the quote-unquote bubble city, where all teams are playing all of the games from Phoenix. No fans. There are, I believe, 10 spring training sites. There is the Diamondbacks' home, Chase Field. So you have a full stadium and then all the spring training sites and then also ancillary ballparks as well. My guess is those ballparks that are on the facilities of some of those spring training areas, because those are all Major League Baseball facilities. That all of the teams would be in hotels, sequestered, off from everybody else, isolated, and away from their family. They would play all of the games for the time being in Phoenix, in the greater Phoenix area. The one thing that they would hurt on right now is attendance, which is a big part of baseball's revenue, but there would be no fans. The way that they would do this is they would test these players constantly and expand rosters in case somebody gets sick. Now, they're only going to do this, they say, assuming that testing is more prevalent for the general public. So I think that they worry about the PR of having a league running and these guys getting tested constantly when the rest of us can't get tested regularly, but it feels like the testing's getting better. It feels like the speed is getting better. And so if we're having kind of instantaneous ability to test and everybody's getting tested, baseball would be more comfortable coming back. Because here's the unfortunate truth is that these multi-million, multi-billion dollar corporations like professional sports have access to the testing through private medical companies that they have access to that we don't. So they really have the access to all the tests that they want, but they don't want it to seem like they're depriving others of these tests. So if they can get testing regularly, green-lighted, and the players agreeing to be sequestered away, isolated away from their family for months on end, because they started in May, they might have to go right through October. So are you okay with you not being close to your family for 4 or 5 months? But if they can get that agreed to, they might also, their worry is not necessarily just the players' health. They know that most of these players, not that everybody that is in their 20s or 30s are not vulnerable, because we have seen cases, obviously, where that has not been the case, but they feel as though the risk is not great for their players, but the umpires, the managers, okay? Those guys who are older, they worry about more. So one of the things, one of the solutions would be umpires not directly in back of the players, at least the home plate umpire, that you would do electronic balls and strikes so that the home plate umpire can be farther back and not have to call that up close. They also are thinking about, instead of using the dugout for everybody to sit in, they would sit in the stands 6 feet apart so that there's far more space between them. So these are really interesting and unique alterations. I mean, imagine watching a baseball game, obviously, with no fans in a spring training facility, and the players not sitting in the dugout, the players sitting in the stands 6 feet away from one another, and balls and strikes called electronically so that the home plate umpire is not too close to the players. These are all things that could be taking place, but they're all things that would get the games going. And, I mean, look, do I think that there is a sense amongst the leagues and certainly amongst the White House that sports being back is good psychologically and helps out the country? Yeah, I think that that's true. I think that just having some normalcy, having an escape, having a diversion, and let's face it, sports brings joy. Just people see winning, celebrations. It's joyous. It's happiness. So I think the government and I think that these leagues understand that that is their contribution, but also this is about money. And baseball stands to lose a crazy amount of money if there is no season. The players lose a lot of money, obviously, if games are not played. And the owners and the organizations lose a ton of money. And the television networks are dying for this type of stuff. So there is some sense that what baseball would lose by not having fans, they could recoup some of it by expanding the nationally televised television broadcast package. So in other words, TBS, ESPN, and Fox, who have partial contracts with Major League Baseball, would expand their coverage and would say, okay, well, we usually carry 2 games a week, and now we want to carry 5 games a week, and so that ups the coffers for baseball. So these are the ways that baseball is trying to get this done. Jeff Passan is reporting this morning that it could be done as early as May. They could try to get this done. But certainly by early June is what they are hoping for. And that's really good news. I mean, the fact is it weird to be playing in spring training ballparks without any fans and players isolated from their families for 5 months and 7-inning doubleheaders to get as many games in as possible and players sitting in the stands 6 feet away from one another? Yeah, it's weird. But ultimately, is it a win? Hell yeah, it's a win. Waking up today, there's rarely been good news over the last month. Rarely are you waking up to good news. Today, that's good news. It's good news that they are serious enough in these talks that they have a plan in place, if it can get done, that Jeff Passan is reporting and feels like it's solid enough ground that he can report it on, because he's a really good reporter and a really judicious and responsible reporter. So this is not just pulled out of the sky. This is what they're working on. So you got to imagine if they try to get this done, about a month from now is when they would open up spring training for maybe 2 weeks, and they would do a two and a half week spring training, try to get back into shape, expand the rosters, and maybe by late May, probably best case scenario, but by late May, you might have baseball games being played. I mean, I think the hope is you begin getting baseball played in late May. I mean, this is best case scenario. And then by August, we are cleared to congregate again. I mean, again, I realize this is best case scenario, but this is just the hope, being an optimist. And then you have games played in front of fans or in stadiums, at least hopefully by the fall, hopefully by the playoffs. But either way, getting games played, no matter what the circumstances now, I think is a good thing. Mraz, I would say waking up to this news is definitely a breath of fresh air this morning.
We just need good news, right? You need something to hold on to. And, you know, we'll talk about the PGA later on, but them releasing a little bit of a schedule. Jeff Passan, of all people, who we trust, obviously reporting this. You know, things like Governor Cuomo with, you know, words like flattening the curve seem to be at least hopefully beginning in New York. Like, these are real hopeful things that, it just brings happiness to my face. I know it's got to bring happiness to a lot of people's face, but the idea might be a little weird when we get to this baseball situation. I mean, every game played in Arizona, our game's going to look weird on the little ballparks. Are they going to look weird with players sitting in the dugout 6 feet apart? Yeah, but ultimately, we get up, there's pitcher, there's batter, there's double plays being turned. I mean, that is something we need. Even if we're still in isolation, the idea that we can go on the back porch, throw on a baseball game, you know, whether it's TV, radio, something like that, and just hold on to it. I mean, I know it's going to bring joy to my face, and I'm sure it'll bring joy to plenty of others.
I think this plan also works from a logistics standpoint. There's a lot of changes that you would have to do to the baseball season to get this done, but these changes are realistic.
Yes.
You can isolate players in the Phoenix area because there's enough hotels to do so. You can use all of those ballparks and flesh out a full schedule and get all the games played because there's a minimum of 11 ballparks in that area and there's a 30-team league. So, you know, hypothetically, you only need 15 facilities every day or so. There is some sense that Chase Field, where the Diamondbacks play, could host triple headers. So, you know, you could knock out getting the infrastructure done this way. You could have, by next month, rapid testing so that everybody is constantly tested. And baseball itself also lends itself to natural, inherent social distancing. Players are not, like in football, in huddles. They're not slamming up against one another constantly. They're not in the offensive and defensive line breathing on one another. You know, baseball is relatively spread out. So I think out of all the sports, this makes sense. And I would say, I don't know, in terms of a sport that doesn't need the crowd to bring all the energy, I think golf is the obvious one because it's always silent anyway. I think baseball, it's not great, but I think it's survivable because I think about like spring training. I'll watch spring training games, and you don't feel the crowd at all in spring training games.
You're absolutely right. Now, the only other two things I would say here are this. They're going to have guys sitting 6 feet apart in the stands, but does that mean, that, you know, a guy hits a big home run to win a game, we're not doing a mosh pit at the plate, nothing
true.
Like that?
True.
You know, and you're going to separate the teams into hotels. Are they not eating breakfast together? Are we going to separate everybody 6 feet apart? You know, like little things like that. I'm just, if the teams are all quarantined with each other in a hotel, do they need to be in the stand sitting 6 feet apart? Or are they kind of like us living with our families at home where, you know, you're not necessarily 6 feet apart with them? That's the only thing that would be really weird to me.
Yeah, I don't know. And I think that, you know, a lot of these little singular details that were reported by Jeff are things that are in the works. But I think the big thing is, will the players union agree to this? Because the players union has to agree to being isolated from their family for months on end. But, you know, baseball players are losing money by the day that games aren't played. So I think that the union will ultimately find a way to say yes if they get some other concessions on safety.
Right, and not to be a complete heartless jerk when it comes to, you know, family and everything, but just a couple notes on that. Baseball players by nature are not like you and I or Bogus or Bilotti where they're used to being away from their family. They travel for 82 away dates a year. They're at the ballparks every night during the summer. I would think that is the one sport that is conducive to being away from your family. And I'm not saying during this time it's not different. Of course it is. And also, I mean, on that note, I don't know, you, me, Bogus, whatever. Look, if I got a chance to make money and it's 5 months away from my family who's been breathing down my neck for the last 2 months, I'm taking it.
Yeah, if you've got a $15 million contract and it includes but you have to be away from your family for 4 months, my guess is that's about a 90% yes rate from that union now.
It's 100% for me.
So good news today if you're a sports fan. Jeff Passan, ESPN, reporting there is a plan in place right now that they're trying to work on to get baseball back by May, all games being played in the Phoenix area. Standing by with your headlines on a Trash Tuesday is a kind sir. His name is Andrew Bogus. Good morning, Andrew.
DA, Sean, Amy, good morning. Here's your report sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. baseball and basketball and everybody else trying to get back on the field or court or rink as soon as possible. But as MLB focuses on that Arizona plan, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver admitted last night his league has slowed down its projections because there's too much unknown about the future. This is not what Silver expected when the season was paused March 12th, as he said last night on NBA Twitter.
There was a notion of 30 days because there wasn't any of the widespread view that at that point that our country would in essence be entirely shut down over the next several weeks. And so the fact is now sitting here today, I know less in a way than I did then.
That being said, the NBA and its union reportedly trying to get their hands on a few rapid result test kits. It'd be like diabetes testing, a quick blood test that gives you coronavirus results in just minutes. Some of these tests are already making their way to hospitals right now. The league and the PA think these machines are the first step to resuming their season. Now, just to recap that baseball plan, all 30 teams in the Phoenix area living in relative isolation, traveling only to and from stadiums. They'd play in D-backs Chase Field and 10 spring training sites. And, of course, all of this could happen as early as late May, maybe June a little more realistic. The NFL is confirming its draft will be a virtual draft. GMs and front office execs will work from their homes, communicating by phone and internet. Even Roger Goodell will be on his couch later this month. And yes, golf could be teeing it up in June. After the British Open was canceled yesterday morning, the PGA Tour gave its schedule a makeover, starting with a possible event in mid-June where the U.S. Open originally was. That event at Wingfoot now starts September 17th with the Ryder Cup the following week, the PGA Championship rescheduled for August 6th, the Masters now November 12th. College Poops, Kentucky freshman Tyrese Maxey, Louisville junior Jordan Nwora leaving for the NBA draft, and Oregon star Sabrina Ionescu wins her second Wooden Award in a row. Only four others have done that. Ionescu will be the top pick in the WNBA draft on the 17th. Hall of Fame Detroit Tiger Al Kaline passed away yesterday at 85. He played all 22 of his seasons in Motown, making 15 All-Star games, winning 10 Gold Gloves, and collecting 3,000 hits. And Dana White says he is close to acquiring a private island for upcoming UFC events, starting with number 249 on the 18th. This is officially the best idea we have had for anybody trying to stage a competition. Not closed arenas, not neutral sites. He's going full on, almost like Survivor, private island. We fly you in, you fight, and you leave. And this could all possibly begin on the 18th with UFC 249.
So baseball's like, we have an awesome plan to get sports back. And then Dana White's like, hold my beer. I'm going to buy an island.
Yeah.
I'm going to have everybody fight in the middle of the Caribbean.
Yep. I'm going to shoo King Kong off this island. And then we're going to have UFC 249 here.
And then UFC 250 is with King Kong, actually.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Winner gets King Kong.
Hell in a Cell on King Kong Island.
Yeah.
Next winner gets King Kong. All right. Thank you, Bogues. When we come back, it's a Trash Tuesday. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
So what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
Appreciate you being with us. Now our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home, that's hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Mraz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
I'm trashing the young woman who I went to college with who slid into my DMs for the wrong reason yesterday. The wrong reason.
Hubba hubba.
I have been taking my jogs I like to do, and there is a local park that feeds out down to the water, down to the ocean by me that I've been jogging to. So I like to, for a little tranquility, how about that for a word?
Nice.
Film the water on my Instagram and kind of like a relief to put it there. So she DM'd me and said, you know, you're part of the problem here.
Oh,
stop
no.
going to park, start doing all, you know, stop doing all this while we're going through here. Now, look, I understand the park aspect if you're in a more dense area, a more dense city, people are on top of each other. The park by me on Long Island, if anybody's there, we are more than 6 feet away from each other. People are minding their space. But where I really have a problem with her is,
wow,
2 days after the Rudy Gobert incident happened, she got on a plane with her husband and took a week's vacation to Japan and flew back just when the travel ban started to happen. So she put up all the pictures. What a lovely trip. Who are you to tell me I can't jog down to the park where 2 days after everything really unfoiled here, you thought it was a good idea to fly and have a vacation in Japan? I'm calling Glass House, and I'm calling for people to mind their damn business.
Okay, Trasher.
I smell rotten eggs.
Have you policed anybody else in terms of social distancing?
Absolutely not, and at least in my area, everybody has been more than gracious of, we all respect everybody's space, everybody says hello from afar, and it has been nothing but everybody doing the right thing around here, so I'm thankful for that.
All right, Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
DA, I'm trashing the constant need to change rules in sports. Every year, after every season, we have to change a rule. It can never stay the same. We can never have a solid offseason with no changing of rules. Now I got to learn the rule book again every time we change a damn rule. How about you get the rules right first and maybe wait 5 years before you change a rule? Get them out of here.
Okay.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
All these ridiculous leagues changing all these rules on a daily basis. Andrew Bogish, who are you trashing?
DA, I'm trashing the unnamed company to which I gave a fair amount of money in the winter to shrink wrap all my outdoor stuff in my backyard to protect it from all the winter elements.
Okay.
I've done it every year before. Anything works fine this weekend. Cut it all open to unleash the backyard, get everything going again. The barbecue is in there. Open it up. There's water all inside this double wrap, shrink wrap, protective Ooh. Layer. I've got the bottom of it is filled with water. I've got ruined sea cushions. My grill is all rusty and gross. I don't even know how I'm going to clean it. This whole thing is a complete mess. And of course, 3 phone calls to this company and no responses just yet about the crappy job they did with all my stuff this winter. So get them all out.
Trash them.
Illegal dumping.
Is this the same company that was leaf blowing or doing whatever in the yard last week?
No. No, I would have went outside and tackled one of those guys and held him hostage until his boss showed up if that was the case. But no, that's a separate entity.
Connor Green is next up on the Trash Tuesday. Connor Green, who are you trashing?
I'm trashing people that ride their bike opposite of a one-way street. Because I always get there, the walk sign turns on, and just as I'm about to step out into the street, I don't look both ways, because why would anything be coming from the opposite direction? A biker comes flying through and almost completely flattens me. Maybe it's my fault, maybe I should be looking both ways, but I feel like you should be riding with the flow of traffic, because there's a slim chance, but there's still a chance that you're going to run me over, and it's happened like 3 times since 2020 started already. So anybody that rides their bike opposite of the flow of traffic on a one-way street, get them out.
It's a good one.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
Don't run into Connor Green when you're riding your bike the wrong way, you idiots. I am trashing doors. What types of doors? Well, in the middle of quarantine, I figured, a nice project might be redoing our guest room. As I've mentioned in the past, the Bourbon Bell and I bought a house a couple of months ago, so since we've got nowhere to go, nowhere to be, I said, I'm going to tackle the guest room. Let's redo this. And the guest room has got 3 different closets. So I've got the door to the guest room, the door to 2 of these closets, folding doors, another closet, and a door to a bathroom. I'm painting doors, and the Bourbon Bell has advised me to do 2 coats of primer and 2 coats of the exterior paint. The satin finish, if you will. I've been painting doors for the better part of a week now. Every single day. By my calculations, each door, you got to do 2 primers on one side and 2 coats of the finishing coat on each side. That's 8 coats of paint per door. I'm at 5 doors. That's 40 coats of paint. I feel like I'm living my life painting doors. That my actual job is painting doors, not hosting a radio show. I think I'm spending more time actually painting freaking doors. I'm sick of the doors. I want the doors done. I want to move on to something else. I'm up to my ears in doors and door paint. And painting is just driving me batty. Trash these doors.
That's a dumpster dive.
DA, 3 closets in a guest room? Did you move into the White House?
And these are not big closets. I wish it was one closet. It's like three tiny closets. One's like a little coat closet. One is a folding door closet that's like a foot deep. It's just totally unnecessary closets.
Cover them up. You don't need them.
I like that idea. Also, these doors have the panels in them, so it's not just one big roller up and down. I got to get into the panels.
Oh,
it is brutal. When we come back, did Belichick silence Brady? Interesting. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.